5, my soul, wait thou only upon God. That's not real hard, is it? Yeah, it's not hard to understand, but it's hard to put into practice because, again, we like to run a life that belongs to our God. He says, for my expectation is from Him. This is a good one, too. In Psalm 33 and verse 20, it says, our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Now, I'm just like you. How much do I have to do this? You know, I got a lot of things to do, a lot of places to go, a lot of activities to be a part of. How much does this have to be a part of my life? Well, this kind of sums it up. It says in Hosea chapter 12 and verse 6, you ready? You alert? Wait on God continually. Can I have a from the crowd? Yeah. So when God says continually, does He mean continually, continually? Like all the time continually or just continually as I want to be continually with it? No, this is God's will for your life. Wait on God continually. Now in Isaiah, this is probably the most familiar verse on this topic. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31 says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. You know what that's describing? Our entire life before God. Some of you don't run quite as fast as you used to. We admit that. Some of you can't walk like you used to. I mean, that just becomes a reality as we get older. But here is the key factor of finishing strong and faithful with what God has entrusted unto you. The key factor is biblically choosing by your will, your own want to biblically wait upon God. And God says you shall renew your strength. You'll change the power source from you trying to accomplish God's will through your own efforts to letting God, again, intervene on your behalf and give you what it takes to be faithful. Let me read the whole verse again. But they that make a right choice to wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Now, how do you wait upon God? Do you sit around and do nothing? If that's the case, we have a lot of faithful believers today. Can I have an amen? Yeah, most people are sitting on their stool and do nothing and very far from faithfully, sacrificially serving God. I stayed with a couple last week, are probably the premier picture of servants of God. I mean, their whole life revolves around sacrificially serving for God. But you know what their frustration is? Why aren't other people doing this? Now, there, I said, well, you know what? You can rejoice because you're robbing all the blessings from them. You know, they're getting ripped off. They're sitting there hiding behind their own insecurities, their own preferences of life, instead of sacrificially saying, here am I, Lord, me, and send me, and being used of God. I said, you're getting all the blessings. Don't grumble. Don't complain. Rejoice. But still pray for others that they won't get ripped off. They won't be cheated. How much more would be done in this local church if every individual, every couple were sacrificial in their service for God? You know why we're not? Because we're selfish, wicked, worthless people most of the time. And our life revolves not around Jesus Christ, but my thing, what I want, where I want to go, what I want to do. Don't you know I have difficulties and problems? Well, yeah, I'll join the club. You may have a few more than others, but God's grace is still sufficient for you. And if you're still breathing, God still has more for you to do if you'll just say, God, what do you want me to do? Where would you want me to go? What can I do to bring glory and honor to your name? Boy, wouldn't that change the face of any ministry and bring forth fruitfulness beyond our comprehension? You better believe it, folks. So you don't sit around and do nothing and wait for God to zap you or something, but God wants you to function taking action in a very obvious, no question way. Now, there's some words that help us with this, and I think you already know this, faith, trust, dependence, and hope. But I want to show you one that's mentioned a bunch of times in one passage. Turn to the Gospel of John next, would you please? Go to the Gospel of John, and chapter 15 to be specific. And here in this passage, it uses the word abide. Now, it appears 11 times in this passage. Isn't that amazing? Now, it's the same word, continue in verse 9, the same word remain in verse 11. But what does the word abide mean? Well, let me give you my understanding. It means to keep in fellowship with Christ so that His life can work in and through us to produce fruit. Some of you are turning pages, maybe didn't hear it all. It means to keep in fellowship with Christ, your life in biblical working order, so that His life can work in and through you to produce fruit. Now, the question is, what kind of fruit is God after? Well, a good crop of Christian faithful testimony. That again, as you yield as instruments of righteousness, you yield to the working of God, He again fills you with His wherewithal, and then through His power does a work through your life that you can't do in and of yourself. God doesn't want just fruit, folks. What's He after? Much fruit. We're the only ones satisfied with your little dabble, do you? Does anybody remember Brill Cream? That way, you know, of course, we don't have to worry about Brill Cream, do we, brother? You don't either, unless you're going to put it on your beard, that's for sure. Okay, but here's the thing, folks. It's not a special feeling, but there are special evidences of truly, biblically waiting upon God. And this is going to get real personal and real convicting, and that's what it's supposed to be. So let me show you what God's after here. I'll give you about five things. First of all, if you are abiding in Christ biblically, not just kind of the way you think it should be done, but you're actually continually waiting upon God, guess what's going to show up? Well, first of all, there will be a production or produce of fruit. So look down with me at the Gospel of John chapter 15. And of course, it's the passage, I'm the vine, my Father is the husbandman. And then it says in verse 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it. Now here's that statement I just gave you, that it may bring forth more fruit. But what are the evidences? What is the representation? What is the product of production that God wants set forth? Well, let me give you five things under this. First of all, you will show forth a dedicated life. Now, I know I've given you this. I've been here two or three times. I have my little pet sayings. But Brother Darrell, I've never had a chance to really be with him except for some youth rallies and men's meetings and stuff. But this is one of my pet phrases, and you've heard it before. Nothing should matter to you more than that which matters unto Jesus. Nothing. Family, work, church, you. Nothing should matter to you more than that which matters unto Jesus. Do you remember this one? When Jesus ceases to be precious, man ceases to be faithful. That's a good one, isn't it? When Jesus ceases to be precious, man ceases to be faithful. There are a lot of things out there to grab hold of and love, folks, but never love them more than Jesus, and never let them or those or that be more precious than Jesus Christ. Hey, I got good news, though. I don't want to forget to tell you, my daughter's expecting again. Yeah, a little girl's supposed to come in August, and she's healthy as a horse at this point. Baby and a daughter, but that's number 6. And my son, since I've been here, has had a little boy too. His name's Houston. Of course, my 4-year-old grandson calls him Houston. Houston, he can't pronounce the Houston thing, but that's all right. So if you want to see pictures, I have them in abundance. I do even have them on my iPad if you'd like to see a full presentation of Maynard's grandchildren. But you know what? They are precious to me, people. But you know what? I can't let myself love my grandkids more than Jesus, or I'll be unfaithful to the local church. This used to drive me nuts. I had this, and I'm not going to say names, but this has happened over and over again. I had this couple in my church that would miss Sunday night service to have a birthday party with their grandkids, who also were a part of our local church. And what they were teaching was unfaithfulness to the local church. Couldn't they have the party in the afternoon? Couldn't they say, hey, we're all going to go to church together and praise Jesus and grow in Christ, and then afterwards we'll go to grandma and grandpa's and we'll have a celebration? But what happened? Those kids were more important. That activity superseded faithfulness to the local church. Can I help you? You don't have to go there and do that if Christ is more important. And His priorities become your priorities. And God still looks for us to be faithful via a local church like this. I'm still a local church guy, and I'm thankful for it. So if you are producing the fruit God wants, you will show forth a dedicated life. If not there, then you're not right with God. Here's number 2. You will have continual growth in holiness and obedience to God. I looked at my notes. I preached on holiness last time I was here. And I gave you a definition of holiness for my study. Set apart for God alone. That's what we just talked about. But being set apart from the garbage of this world that seeks to hinder you from being set apart for God alone. Anti-God philosophies, activities, things we take in such a casual but sinful way. Folks, you should be growing every day. You should be more like Jesus after today than you were even yesterday. Oh, but some of you have arrived, haven't you? You're a pillar of the assembly. You are the pianist. You are the organist. You are the teacher. You know what? You still got more to learn. We know that. Doesn't she, brother? Doesn't she have more to learn? He's a nice man. He's not going to say anything because she'll kill him when they get home. Okay, I know where I am. Y'all understand what I'm saying? We get so full of ourselves and then we cheat ourselves. No one has arrived, including me. I got so much more remodeling that needs to be done. More growth to be bought up. But folks, if I don't wait upon God, it won't happen. Now, how many teenagers wait upon their text messaging or their video games or their other friends instead of their friend Christ Jesus, and they wonder why Christianity is just so boring, whatever, like you know. And why does that happen? Oh, I wrote a new song. I have to sing it for you. It's called Drama Queen. It's pretty funny. Yeah. Goes along with my brother's just a big old nerd. Well, anyway, what happens here, folks, when you're waiting on God, you'll show forth a dedicated life. Secondly, you'll have growth daily in holiness and obedience to God. And here's number three, you'll be winning others to Jesus. I'm going to start with our bearded wonderment right down here. You know, kind of the Jeremiah Johnson of your assembly. And I want him to tell me who he's won to Christ since I was here last time. Then we'll go to his lovely, near-perfect wife, who's really a good cook. I'll tell you right now, I can't wait till tomorrow night. So what happens, you know, we'll go to her. Who have you won to Christ? Who have you won to Christ? Who have you won to Christ? And we'll go through all the room and see how much testimony we have concerning that. Would it be exciting, an opportunity of praising God, or a time of shame and go, oh boy, I hope he doesn't make it to me. But folks, what in the world are we doing here? Well, we're here to seek and to save those that are lost. But why aren't you doing it? Because you're waiting on your insecurities. You're waiting on your preferences. You're waiting on what you think you can do instead of just yielding yourself daily to opportunities, folks, that are endless. Do you hear me? Endless opportunities every day to help people know Jesus saves. But see, if you hide at your house or behind your own flesh, you're not going to be faithful. You're waiting on the wrong thing. That's how deep this goes and how personal in application it is to our lives. So you'll show forth a dedicated life. Nothing's going to work right unless you get that right. You will be growing daily in holiness and obedience to God. Nobody's arrived. You will allow God's burden to become your burden. And every day you'll be seeking to win others to Jesus Christ. And number four, and boy, it's a tough order, the Christian life will show forth the fruit of the Spirit. Now, where do we find the list of the fruit of the Spirit? If you don't know, you're probably not trying to practice it. It's in what book of the Bible? Talk to me. Galatians chapter 5, and it starts down there about love and all. You know what? It's not pick and choose list. This is a whole order that God orders up for you to be faithful unto. But we kind of, in our Christian lives, kind of, oh, I like this one, but that one's too hard. You know, that's not my personality. Well, be dead to self and let it be a part of you because you're in Christ, a new creature. So the fruit of the Spirit should be your representation as you represent the Lord Jesus Christ. So, folks, the fruit of the Spirit doesn't come unless you choose to abide in Christ or wait upon God. Then number five, the fruit of praise will be continually on your lips. And you've heard me say this, grumps for Jesus is not a good testimony, is it? You know, ground complaint. Well, you don't understand my circumstances. You don't understand. You know who's in the White House, don't you? You know what's going on over there. You know the financial situation. You know what that tells me? They're looking to the wrong person and the wrong circumstances. You know, my God's still in control. Is yours? You know, God makes no mistakes. He puts who is in the White House. He allows that to happen. He can also take them out. That's what I'm praying for. But you know what? He puts them in, he takes them out, and God's not surprised by what's happening. But folks, you know what's exciting? Before Jesus comes back, it's going to get worse, not better. And folks, that excites me because it's getting black and bleak as ever my time of life and living. But that excites me. That doesn't discourage me because I know God's still in control. And God has again the wherewithal to carry us through if we'll just wait upon Him. Are you a person of praise? Or do you always say the same thing every time testimony time comes? Haven't you learned anything since you got saved? Haven't you witnessed or ministered to someone this week that you can share another? Now, I know she could go on testimonies for like 300 years. She has the gift of verbiage. I know that. I love it when I'm around her because she's always got something new and exciting to tell me about God working in her own heart and through her life. But she does that on purpose. And you need to do the same thing. You need to choose to wait upon God. Is she perfect? Boy, we know that's not true. Amen. You know, am I perfect? No. But you know what? God uses all of us imperfect people, doesn't He? Come on, talk to me. Whether you're a real big fancy talker or you have trouble even saying your own name, God says, I do it through you. It's not you. Apart from me, you can't do how much? Nothing. That's even on in here in this passage. Well, let's go on with this or I'll get parking on one thing. So let me review that. What kind of fruit will come if you're abiding in Christ? Dedicated life, growth in holiness, obedience to God. You'll be winning others to Jesus. The Christian life will show forth the fruit of the Spirit, and the fruit of praise will be continually on your lips. Look back at verse 2, because very important factor. This is the part we don't like. You will experience pruning. Pruning. Now, folks, I'm not a real green thumb guy. I'm between brown and black. Y'all understand that? I can mow my yard, I can trim my bushes, but I'm not real good at this planting stuff and the foliage, as we would say. But I had this bush. When we lived in Indianapolis years ago, we had this bush in front of our house. And it was, I call it the Charlie Brown Christmas tree bush. Y'all know Charlie Brown? It's the ugly tree with one dangling, you know, whatever hanging from. That was kind of the way this bush was. And I told my wife, I said, this thing's going to do or die. So all I had was these humongous, you know, hand clipper things. I cut that thing down as short as the hair on the top of my head, people. I mean, I didn't care if that thing do or die type of thing. And you know what? This thing started growing. I was trimming it all the time. If I'd have let this thing go on, it would have eaten the entire city of Indianapolis. Do you understand what happened? I took away the hindrances of growth. That's what God's doing to you daily. But what happens? You get bitter instead of better. You know, God brings something to your life to awaken you to depend on God instead of your own flesh. He rattles your cage. He overturns your cart on purpose to help you trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but trust and obey. But you throw in the towel and quit on God when He's just pruning you and trying to help you be more of what you can and should be for the glory and honor of God. You know, I'm so proud of my family as we went through all these tragedies in the past 3 years. You know, whether it was my daughter, whether it was my sister and her husband. Her husband's not the most godly guy, but he took a few notches up during the circumstances, because in the circumstances, he had no choice but to look unto God to get him through. And it grew him up spiritually. You think God may be trying to grow you up spiritually? Maybe He took away a few of that security stuff called coin, bills, money in your life, so you would trust Him instead of your savings or your house or what you can do. He took some of your little healthy activities of productivity away physically so you would trust in Him more abundantly. That's happened with me the past year. I had throat nodules, folks. God put me on the shelf for about 2 months where I couldn't preach, I couldn't sing, I could still talk, praise the Lord. That would have killed me if I had to shut up. But you know what? I thought my ministry was done. I really did. I thought I was going to have to be a signer at the Bill Rice Ranch. I think that was my next ministry move here. But, you know, God took the nodules away. And I told some folks here this morning, I can't explain to you how excited I am to be back in the midst of ministry opportunity. I don't want to take it for granted, because every day is precious, folks, that God allows us to be in His presence, but to represent Him and do His bidding. But how many people take that so for granted, so lightly, and never buy it up? Well, God may do the pruning thing even in your life, not because He doesn't like you, just the opposite. Whom the Lord loves, He chastens. And He's trying to bring you what's best, and that's always His will. His working, so you can honor and please Him. Let me show you the next thing. I got to keep going. I thought I wouldn't fill the time, but I'm probably going to go too long. Prayers are answered. Look down at verse 7. This is the part we like. In verse 7, now look at the conditional words. It says, if ye abide in me. Circle the conditional word. There's a choice in the midst of your prayer life that brings it in an active, God-honoring, and God-working fashion. And it's if you abide in me, you wait upon God biblically. Look at the next thing. And my words abide in you. Let me say this for the teenagers, the young folk. You know why that's so important? Because if you don't pray according to thus saith the Lord, you'll pray selfishly. Or by your reasoning, or circumstances, or frustrations of the flesh you're parked in. Y'all understand why you've got to control your thoughts, your prayer life through the Word of God. So it says, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, here's the blessed verse, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. How many Christians treat Jesus like a genie in a lamp? Come on, mama needs a new pair of shoes. Come on, God, you know we got to. That's not the way it works. See, folks, if you're praying biblically, it isn't going to be all about you and what you want, and you're not going to tell God to do anything. Are you listening to me? It'll be, God, here's what I think I need. Here's what I really want, but God, not my will, but thy will be done. That's bottom line, folks, and that only happens if you abide in Christ or choose to biblically wait upon Him. So prayers will be answered. And number four, you'll experience a deepening love for Christ and for others. You know, it's hard to be a minister of God if you don't like people. Have you noticed that? You know, they just don't really, you know, want to listen to you. It seems that you're more repulsive and rebel and pushing them away instead of drawing them closer to you because it's your own choice of personality and presentation of life. You need to be dead to self. And whether it's a pain or a privilege, you're here to love people and minister to needs. It says in verse 9, several verses, I think you know these. It says, if the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. How does God love us, folks? Give me some words. Let's just catch you. A little louder so this old person can hear you. What? How does God love us today? Give me some words. Continually. Give me some more. Unconditionally. Any others? How about sacrificially? How about He just keeps giving and never stops? It's a 24-7. He's on the clock. He ever lives to make intercession on our behalf. Guess what, friends and neighbors? That's the kind of love we're supposed to show even the unlovely. That's the way. That pain in your flesh at work, that pain in the flesh that you're even in your own home, that pain in the flesh at your local church, through God's grace and sufficiency, you be filled with that love by the Holy Spirit shedding it abroad in your hearts. Romans chapter 5, you know. And again, you can demonstrate this kind of love. It says in verse 10, if ye keep my commandments, it says, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, and even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. Then in verse 12 it says, this is my commandment that ye love one another. Here it is again, as I have loved you. This is my commandment that ye love one another. You know that little chorus? Then in verse 13 it says, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. And how could we miss verse 14? Ye are my friends. Does that overwhelm you like it does me? To thank the Creator of all, God incarnate, dubs me a friend. And folks, how can I cheat Him? How can I slight Him? How can I be so again consumed with me and not consumed and controlled by Him? I'll tell you how, because you're waiting on you. You're waiting on your personality. You're waiting on your circumstances. You're abiding in you instead of making a choice to biblically abide in Christ. So prayers will be answered. You'll experience a deepening love for Christ and for others. And I left a verse out on purpose because you will experience joy. You will experience joy. In verse 11, it says, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be a smidgen. Does your Bible say smidgen? That's from Wonderful Life, if you wonder where I got that, you know. It's just a smidgen. Okay, never mind. So, folks, this is not a little, but this is a lot, isn't it? Full means full, doesn't it? Kind of, what happens if you bump a glass of water that's full? What happens? It spills out, doesn't it? So when you get bumped, what comes out of your life? Huh? That's the, you know, Brother Darren, I've seen this about every kid meeting or whatever, where a guy brings a glass of water and he tries to get through a crowd of kids that are just bumping him and tormenting him or whatever. Well, what comes out of you is what you're filled up with. And if it's anger, you're filled with the wrong thing. If it's bitterness, it's going to spill out. So you fill yourself with Jesus Christ, and when you get bumped, he's going to come out in your response, and sometimes even when you react. Because, folks, that's what consumes you, controls you, fills you, and again, directs your life. When you're filled up with joy, folks, you'll want to sing, you'll want to shout, you'll want to tell people about how great your God is. Let me read the verse again. These things have I spoken unto you, that your joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Key factor of faithfulness, choosing to wait upon God. Folks, waiting on God demands action, a choice of your will, who you are, what you are, where you go, and how you do it, but it can't be done in and of your own wherewithal. You say, God, help me to be faithful here. God, help me to wait on you continually. Now, here's my observation and my burden. Maybe the reason you're not waiting upon God, you're not producing the fruit that you're supposed to because you're not a part of the vine. You're a part of this church. You're a part of a decision process of saying I'm a believer, but you have never received Christ as your personal Savior. Testimony, I don't know where I'll use this any other time. There was a guy last week who was a very active, nice guy, busy guy of the local church where I was. And he came to me and said, I just got saved here about a few months ago. He'd been in this church all his life. And he said, nobody knew that I wasn't saved, but I knew I was unsaved. Nobody knew the sinful secret garbage that I was a part of. Oh man, I was feeding my flesh, doing my thing. When I came to church, I put on a performance that would just blow, you know, the average actor's mind out of the water. But he said, you know what? I was wicked and I was undone and I was miserable. And he was an actor, performer. You know what? There's no way you can be faithful. There's no way consistently you can produce the fruit and again, the representation for Christ in the flesh you're parked in. You know what? He's very excited he got saved. And he's very much changed as far as his outward presentation. You know, a person can kind of play the game in a church, can't they? You know, you can become performance. Kids can do it all the time. They grow up with homeschooling. They grow up with knowing all the right, when to stand, when to sit, what to say. But if there's, that was my kid. My kids were that way. My children grew up performers, but lost as can be. I told you, they didn't get saved until they were in their 20s. But they knew the performance requirements. Boy, I don't want you going to hell for all eternity. And I don't want you to miss opportunities of being faithful and filled with the goodness and glory of God today. So make a choice to be a part of the vine by receiving Jesus as your personal Savior. Then hang on for the ride. Wait upon God and watch God do in your heart and through your lives what He so is longing to do. Now let's finish out here, and I'll be down just a few minutes early. Go to Isaiah chapter 40 again. Let's finish out with this and just review again the promise that God gives to all of us. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. You have a choice that will so benefit and bless your ever-loving life, but you're not doing it for you, you're doing it for Him. It says in chapter 40 and verse 31, let's look at it again. But they that make a choice to wait upon God shall change the power source. Man, get that WD-40 out and unplug from you and plug into the limitless power of God. You're getting weary and well doing. You're getting carnal and reactionary instead of saying, God, I know you're able. God, I know you're faithful. Unplug from you and plug into the limitless power of Almighty God. Because here's what can happen. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Folks, there are a lot of people who have thrown in the towel already. Good people. In churches I've preached in for years, but they're nowhere to be found for the cause of Christ. I don't want that to be the testimony of you folks if I get to come back some other time. I want you to keep on keeping on through the power and working of God. How do we do that? Make a right choice to wait on God biblically. Would you bow your heads and hearts, please? Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you, Lord, for this instruction on gaining weight spiritually. Lord, learning how, not just how, but Lord, the importance of biblically abiding in you, really trusting you, really, Lord, having the faith that will undergird us to keep us keeping on for the cause of Christ, so God will not just be satisfied with being saved. And that's the most joyous event of our lives. But Lord, the satisfaction will continue as we learn to please you and to accomplish much for you. So Lord, we thank you for this Sunday school time. Lord, what a blessed opportunity. Lord, it's going to be a grand week around your word. And God, we look forward to how you're going to teach us, how you're going to convict us, how you're going to change our lives. God, help us this week like we've never done before. Choose to wait upon Christ. We love you, Lord. We thank you for this lesson. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can I have an amen, please?